Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 72, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 72. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, the first 14 verses. Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And for John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who is still in the hospital, and also Mr. John Gulliker Jr., who, with others with him, were spared in an accident this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we come together in this morning hour, a beautiful day in nature, so that we must say, what is man, and that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, and that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and thou hast given unto him every blessing, the beasts of the field and the coverings and that are necessary in this life. Remember those that are without in this day and that do suffer from want and need. Oh, give to us also hearts that may go out to them when we sit in our prosperity. But Lord, oh, give to us to feel something also in this morning of the great wretchedness of our sinful hearts, and that thou so blessest us, and yet our hearts, they are not inclined to thee. But we are inclined to take all these blessings and to go our own way in the service of this world and of the time and the lusts and the desires of our own sinful flesh, that we may take part in all the pleasures of the world, Lord, then we need to be born again. Oh, we need to be converted. And we need grace in our souls from above. We have come this morning together in thy house of prayer. It is supposed to be to worship thee. And we have no ability. Even after thou givest grace, oh, then we have no ability from our own side. Then everything has to come from thee. And for the first time or by renewal, then we need from thee by renewal a broken heart and a contrite spirit, without which we cannot come before thee in uprightness and in truth. Lord, we beseech of thee then, when we have come together, that thou may show thyself, and that thou may come together with us in this day, and when we are gathered round thy word of truth, and thou hadst left thy disciples, ascended on high, but thou didst promise them that thou wouldst never forsake them. And so it has been even unto the end of the world. Lord, thou hast been with thy church, but oh, give us to know it in this morning. Give us to feel it also in this morning, that thy presence may be among us, to go from pew to pew, and to break the hard and stony hearts that live within us. Oh, to melt our hearts, when in this morning we are so empty and void of all that is good and right, and so filled with all that is wicked and carnal and earthly and devilish and sensual. Oh, that thou may grant us for the first time in our life, that thy word may be quick and powerful, as sharp as a two-edged sword, that it may pierce our heart, and that we may be awakened from the sleep of death, and that we may begin to live and to feel and to sigh and to cry and to hunger and to thirst after thee, even as the hart panteth for the brooks of water. Then there shall be a place for thee. Then there shall be place for thy only begotten Son also in thy own time. O, look thou upon thy own, in whom thou hast wrought with thy Spirit. Thou knowest all their life, all their desires, and they are all before thee, and all their groanings, they are not hid from thee. All the desires of the soul of the new life, that to pant for thee, that to seek for thee, when the inner chamber that is no longer empty, and when the hand has begun in this life to smite upon the breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But Lord, thou knowest that it is a people who do not know the way. They know they need to be saved, but they do not know how to be saved. Oh, that thou may look upon them, for they go in this way and in that way, and they do labor even in a broken covenant, with all the desire of their heart, with all that is from thee and that goes out unto thee. Oh, then it is, Lord, have patience with me. Oh, what a disappointing life, because we need to have it all stripped away. Look on them this day, Lord. And wilt thou give them quickly to work themselves to death, that thou may glorify thy own Son in them. Oh, that thou would open the eyes of the blind, when they have empty hands over and over again, and when the sorrows are come upon them. Oh, that thou may bring them to the birth. Oh, that thy dear Son, and that he may be born in their hearts, and that they may be given eyes to see him.
Oh, that they may be given to see that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Oh, that they may never seek it again in a way that is so discouraging because of the impossibilities. But indeed there is life. Oh, indeed there is salvation. Indeed there is redemption in and through that finished work. And Thou who wast crowned, because Thou hast finished it here below, Thou who art able now to apply it, even as that finished work, that Thou may do so in the midst of us all together. O Lord, open our eyes for Thee, Thou who art so beautiful, O Thou who art altogether lovely, because Thou wilt do for Thy people what they cannot do for themselves. Make Thyself precious to young and old. Look on the children, parents and families and grandparents together. That we may not love only one another, but that we might learn to love the Lord. That we may not only be families in the midst of this world, but that we may also become the sons and daughters of God. That we may also have an elder brother, that we may be brought also to hear it from Thy own mouth, that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not My people, there it shall be said, ye are the children of the living God. Remember us and give us that hunger and thirst and that desire, that we also may be included amongst that number. Look on all Thy children, and wilt Thou lead them from strength to strength. Oh, that it may be a little strength in this morning hour for those who are weary in the way, and that Thou may encourage all that are despondent, that they may be given by true faith to cleave. Oh, that refuge-taking faith may yet behold for a moment Him in whom Thou art so well pleased, that they may have a little courage and strength to go on again in the Meshech of this wilderness. Remember all the needy. Lord, look on the child. He has received surgery. Thou knowest still all the discomforts of his body. Oh, help him, Lord. And wilt Thou strengthen and bless all the means that are used. Look on his young heart, and oh, use and bless the means also for his own soul. Strengthen the parents. Remember all those that have received surgeries, those that do recover, and those also that have many afflictions of the body, for there are others among us. Thou knowest the pain. Thou knowest the discomforts. Thou knowest how that it does hinder also in the things of this life. Oh, Thou knowest what our hearts are also, how much rebellion that there can be within. Oh, if Thou givest us not to be quiet, then we raise our fist to heaven. Lord, wilt Thou look upon all those that do suffer in this world? And wilt Thou cause these to be means that our own hearts may be discovered unto ourselves, the wretchedness that lies within, and that we may see the necessity of Thine only begotten Son, that we may be cleansed, that we may be washed, that we may be forgiven. Oh, give also humble hearts under all Thy blessings. The young man, Lord, Thou knowest that he was spared with those others that were with him. Oh, that Thou may humble his heart this day. Oh, give to him a place in the dust before Thee. And oh, that he may now say to Thee, Lord, my life, and that is spared by Thee, my life I now dedicate unto Thee. Oh, that is now for Thee, for the rest of my life. And oh, may it be for all eternity. Oh, look upon each one of us and give us so to love and desire Thee. Lord, remember all thy servants. It is thy day. Oh, that thou may go before thy servants, and also those that bring thy word in the way of reading services. Oh, thou knowest all our impossibilities. Lord, thou knowest all our frailties, all our ignorance, and all that we stand in need of. Oh, that thou may go before us. May thou not only help us, Lord, but could it please thee to bless the simple means for the conversion of sinners. Oh, that thy kingdom may come. And thou hast commanded that word to go forth. And when thou didst ascend into the heavens, thou didst send thy disciples, go ye, and preach everywhere. Oh, Lord, then it is to be preached here too. But we must acknowledge that it indeed is the foolishness of preaching. And we are of yesterday and we know nothing. But, oh, thou knowest everything. And thou who hast the heart of kings in thy hand, thou can guide our heart too, to give in our heart a word that is so appropriate and so necessary. And for this one or for that one, so fitting in this moment, and for that place where this soul and that soul may be, and when we are when we need to be discovered in the midst of this world, O Lord, we ask thy presence, we ask thy blessing undeservedly in the forgiveness of all our sins, and in the name and for the sake of thine only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 417, all stanzas. Congregation, on Thursday, we have commemorated together the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has humbled himself so very, very deeply. And now he is exalted so very, very highly. That was the day of his crowning. Then he may receive a place at the right hand of power, and that he may receive a place upon the throne of the kingdom, all power given unto him, we read in heaven and in earth, that is so far beyond our comprehension. As long as we are here upon the face of the earth, and then our finite minds, they shall never be able to drink in the infinitude. It is infinite in every way. It is not only in duration, but it is also in glory. An infinite honor, an infinite in power, infinite in holiness. That is something that only God's children one day will experience. Before the Lord Jesus ascended, the Lord Jesus spoke unto his own disciples. He prepared them. He instructed them. We do that too. And then we may have an opportunity, and we are not cut off in a moment, and we may have a privilege to have a deathbed in this world, and we may realize that we are passing out of this life, then we are also doing the same, and that we are taking such an opportunity to speak unto those whom we love. And we wish then to give them instruction. We wish to prepare them for that time that they will have to miss us as we are standing on that threshold of a new world. Maybe that we have so experienced it also in our own life. Maybe we also have stood around our dying father. Maybe we also have stood around our dying mother, our dying grandfather, our dying grandmother. And then we have heard their last words, and we have heard the instruction that they have given unto us. We will never forget it if we have stood there. We will never forget those words. And why not? Well, young people, then you will say they were the most serious words. They were the most solemn words that I have ever heard in my life. My mother to speak, my father to speak. And why is that? Because when we are standing on the threshold of that great eternity, then we see life in the right light. As we never saw before, then those things which are important, they are coming in the foreground. And everything else, indeed, that is passing into the background. And therefore, we will never forget those words. The Lord Jesus, he did this too. we read, being assembled with them. That is, before that the Lord Jesus left his disciples. Then what did he do? Then he instructed them. He instructed them about the future. When he was ready to depart into another world, they were to be left behind just for a little time. And then they were going to follow him, to be with him. We heard where he is. But now for that little time that they were left, the Lord Jesus has given to them instruction because he has cared for them for this life and cared for their soul in a special way, caring also for his own church unto the end of the world. We wish to consider something of this with you in this hour out of Acts 1, the fourth verse. Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So far the words of our text. The disciples of Christ instructed concerning the promise of the Father. First, a positive command, and second, a blessed encouragement. The disciples instructed concerning the promise of the Father. First, a positive command, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And second, a blessed encouragement, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Thus, when the Lord Jesus leaves his disciples' congregation, then he speaks about a promise. What is that? A promise. That is a commitment. A promise. That is a commitment. A commitment between, a commitment by one person to another person, a commitment, what he will be for them, what he will do for them. Did you ever receive a promise? Children, maybe you have received a promise. Did you ever make a promise? Pharisees promised Judas money. And Judas made a promise to the Pharisees that he would look for an opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus they made a promise, they made a commitment one to the other. What is the purpose of a promise? Well, a promise, and that sustains a person. A promise upholds a person. A promise is that a person may have the strength, that he may have the courage to continue on. Why is that necessary? Well, because inherent in a promise, inherent in every promise, is the necessity of waiting. The necessity of waiting. Why? Because a promise does not concern things that are present, but a promise that always concerns things that are future. Thus, if we will give it, fathers and mothers, to our children at this moment, then we do not promise them anything anymore. then that promise that has become altogether unnecessary. But it is when it concerns things that are future, and that we do make a promise that a person, he may look forward, that a person may be upheld, that a person may look to receive the fulfillment. Everything we read in God's word that is fulfilled in its own time. Solomon says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose that is under the heaven. Thus, everything in its own time. Many things that happen in this world, and they do take place without any foreknowledge, without any preconception of us. We do not know of this beforehand. Many things are to us a surprise. They are not a surprise to the Lord, but they are a surprise to us. That is, of course, with most things. We do not know what the outcome is going to be. Those Philistines' children, they did not know, they did not realize, and that their champion, Goliath, he was going to be slain, and by that stripling, that boy David with a sling and a stone. They didn't know this. They didn't expect this. How is it then that we hear the prophet Ahijah, that he says, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou, thou thyself to be another? Thus, she has come only to the door. He was blind, he could not see her. But he knew that she was coming. He expected her. How is that? Well, it is because the Lord had told him. The Lord had spoken to him so that he knew what was going to come in the future. And this we read so very much of in the Word of God. What is that? That is prophecy. The scriptures, they are filled with prophecy. From Genesis to Revelation. And they are there for a testimony that it is not the word of man, but that it is the word of God. Because he alone knows the future. But there are some things that we know in the future, not merely because they are prophesied, but also because they are promised. And a promise that is even more than a prophecy. Why? Because with a promise, there is a commitment. But wait for the promise of the Father. Prophecy can come by none other than by God Himself. Harold Camping, he can prophesy that the end of the world is coming, but he was wrong. And we may expect that he will be wrong. Why? Because in the Bible we read that it is a day and an hour that no man knows. Our fathers, they said, it is better to pray than to prophesy. Thus, prophecy that is the from the Lord alone And how is that with a promise? Prophecy has to do with the future, but a promise also has to do with the future. Do you ever promise something, fathers and mothers, to your children? That has to do with the future. Do you know the future? Ah, you say it is a commitment. That is right. But what do we read in the Bible? We know not our life. And therefore, our promises, having to do with the future, they must always be limited by that expression that we are taught to speak in the Word of God, if the Lord will, we shall live and we shall do this or that. But wait for the promise of the Father. That is something that God will commit himself unto man. That God will commit himself unto his creature. Or we cannot fathom how that the Lord condescends unto his own creature to deal with his creature even from the beginning of time by way of a covenant. But wait for the promise of the Father. And what is the purpose of a promise? What is the reason for a promise? Sometimes, then we or the Lord will have a person to perform, to act in a certain way, actually often in order to receive that promise, or even as a means to receive it. A threat that is a kind also of a promise. But a threat that is used to turn away misbehavior. Thus, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Why does the Lord make that threat? That man would do, or in that case, that man that he would not do. So that is also with the promise. There are some promises in the Word of God that we call conditional promises. Thus, a promise that is based on the fulfillment of a certain condition. Ye shall receive. That is a promise, children. Ye shall receive. That is a promise. Do you know what goes before that promise? That is ask. That is the condition. Ask and ye shall receive. Ye shall find. That is a promise. But it has also a condition. And what is that? That is seek. Seek. It shall be opened unto you. Is that your desire? That it should be opened unto you? The kingdom of heaven? What is the condition? That is knock. Knock. Thus, They are conditional promises. And to whom do those promises go out? They go out to every single person that hears those promises. As based upon that condition, oh, do you ask? Do you seek? Do you knock? There are also, in God's word, many unconditional promises. That means that there is no condition attached unto that promise. Thus it is as if we would take off the ask and that the Lord only says, ye shall receive. That we would take off that seek and that the Lord only says, ye shall find. Are there such promises in the Word of God? There are. And to whom do those promises go out? Well, there are our parents. There are things that we promise to our children that we do not promise unto the other children in the neighborhood. Thus, they are those things that we will give unto our children regardless. Regardless. Thus, those promises that are unconditional, they belong unto that true church of God. There was nothing that Mephibosheth had to do in order to receive what David promised him when he said, he shall eat continually at my table. And such a promise was so necessary for Mephibosheth. Why? Because he was lame on both his feet. Because if the Lord would put a condition in front of that promise, then it would never happen. Then it would be for Mephibosheth impossible. And now such promises, it is such unconditional promises, they are so necessary and so precious unto that true church of God. And why? Because, congregation, they are lame on both their feet. Oh, did you ever learn yourself to be them so? The Lord also knows it. The Lord knows it. And therefore, there are such promises in that holy word of God. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. But wait for the promise of the Father. We are impatient. We don't want to wait. But waiting, that is now the work of the true church of God. Why? Because waiting, that is an inherent part of receiving a promise. And it is by the promise that the church is living in this world. Why? Because the final victory that is not today, the final victory that is future. But is that final victory that is to be delivered from the greatest evil? What is the greatest evil? Do you know, children? sin. Sin. Is that so to you too? And now to be delivered from that greatest evil and to be brought to the highest good, that is the promise that that true church of God is waiting for. When will that be fulfilled? That will not be fulfilled in this life. No. As long as this mortal body remains, then sin that is not yet done away. Thus, the church that is living upon a promise. Thus, the work of the church that is waiting. And that enemy that he is mocking at that church that has to wait. Because that enemy, he says, where now is the promise of his coming? Oh, how much discouragement is not in the soul of God's children because of that voice of the enemy. Jeremiah was so discouraged, and he said that unto the Lord. And he said, Lord, look what they are saying to me. Behold, Lord, they say unto me, where now is the word of the Lord? Let the word of the Lord come now, what the Lord has said. Or is it now a strange thing then? If you have to wait, the hypocrite congregation, he has it all in his hands right now. And therefore, actually, he has no need for a promise. But who has now to wait longer than Abraham for the fulfillment of that promise? And it is now in this way that it is pleasing the Lord to work in this life. And who now can say to him, what doest thou? David, he says, on thee do I wait all the day. He said, I am weary of my crying. My eyes fail, my throat is dried, he said, while I wait for my God. Or as the eyes of a servant do look unto their master, as the eyes of an handmaiden do look unto her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until he have mercy upon us. The work of the church, but wait for the promise of the Father. What is it? It is a reminder. Is that now the first time that the Lord Jesus has said this unto his disciples? No, he has spoken about this before. And it is a reminder to them. Before he leaves them, he assures them of the fulfillment. But he says the time that is not quite yet. You still will have to wait a little bit longer. Or do you know that also, people of the Lord? The Lord needs to come back on it, does he not? For your encouragement. That you may wait upon him, because how soon do you lose courage? That you fear that that promise that was, that is never going to be fulfilled. Why? Because of the circumstances that come against it. And because you have to wait. Because that time is long. And then the Lord, he has to come again. And the Lord, he has to make it new again for you. And the Lord, he has to strengthen you in that promise. So Isaiah said it. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But wait for the promise of the Father. What did the Father promise? Father promised the Holy Spirit. He promised the pouring out of that Spirit. He promised the coming of the Comforter. Next week, the Lord willing, we hope to hear of the fulfillment of that promise. But in this time, the disciples, they are waiting, they are looking forward to that coming of the Spirit of the Lord. Were then those disciples without the Spirit of God? No, that cannot be. The Lord Jesus departed from them in his human nature, but he remained with them in his Godhead, majesty, grace, and his Spirit. Therefore, he was by that Spirit at no time absent from his church. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thus, he is with them. And yet there is a difference. There is a difference in what? There is a difference in the measure. There is a difference in the manifestation of the Spirit. There is a difference in the working of the Spirit. There is a difference between the work and the person of the Spirit. We cannot explain that so easy. No, then we had to say, Lord, how shall we explain that to this people? Because we are so ignorant. And then you feel that you are of yesterday and that you know nothing. But what do we read? We read that the Lord Jesus, he had said to them, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. Can we understand it? The Lord Jesus, he says, that Spirit that dwells in his disciples. And yet he is going to send that Spirit unto his disciples. Thus, there will be a difference in manner. There will be a difference in measure. And then it will not be only the working, but also the very person of that Spirit that will come to dwell in his church. But wait, he says, for the promise of the Father. Oh, how does that church wait for the coming of the Spirit of the Lord? And that same promise that is lying upon the church also today. It is not always the same with that people. Then does that Spirit take up its abode in the heart of that people? Do you know that, children? That is in the new birth. If the Lord will give to you a new heart, then do you know what your body becomes? Read that in the Word of God. Then your body, that becomes a temple. It becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. Then, it is not always the same. No, then there are seasons. Are seasons wherein his presence is feelingly and believingly present. Seasons wherein, because of the presence of that Spirit, that faith that is lively, that the temptations of Satan, they are very easily put away. Or seasons that they may sing in sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide, my hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. Seasons, But how often is it not so? And how often does it seem that like that spirit that is perhaps even gone altogether? So that Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me, and my God, he has forgotten me. And then they can't see anything anymore, and they cannot believe anything anymore. And then it is only dark and everything covered over. And then they are waiting. And then they are waiting. They are waiting for what? Oh, they are waiting for that Spirit of the Lord to return. For Jehovah am I waiting. My hope is in his word. In his word of promise given, yea, my soul waits for the Lord. Oh, does your soul also wait for him? But wait for the promise of the Father. And where do they have to wait? Oh, does that matter? Where they wait? Where they go? The disciples? Lord Jesus. He also instructs them in that. He says there is a certain place where that Spirit is promised. There is a certain place where that Spirit is going to come. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. The word command here, that is a very strong word. That is, young people, when you would go into the military, then you will receive commands. You will receive commands like you have never received them from your father and mother, perhaps. A command in the military is a command that no man dares to disobey. Because you will be certainly and immediately punished. That is now the word that the Lord Jesus used, that we read here in God's word, that the Lord Jesus did, that he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Or when Ruth received that instruction from Boaz, then he said, go not into any other field. Where did they lay those sick people? The days of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid them at the pool of Bethesda. And why? Because that was now the place that the angel of the Lord would come and stir those waters. And then the Spirit of the Lord was there present to heal them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Oh, then he says, do not let anything drive you from there. Do not let anything draw you from there. No friends, no foes, no fear, no temptation, because there the Lord, he is promising to come to fulfill the promise of the Father. Oh, do you wait there too? Do you wait there too for the Lord to come in that place where the Lord says he will send his Spirit? And how do you wait there? Oh, do you wait there with longings and desirings and cryings, even as the disciples of the Lord? Let us sing 363, 3, 4, and 5. For Jehovah I am waiting, and my hope is in his word, in his word of promise given. Yea, my soul waits for the Lord. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 363.
Thank you.
Not only did the Lord Jesus give his disciples a positive command, but he also gave to them a blessed encouragement, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Once there was a leper who came to the Lord Jesus, and we read he worshipped him, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? If thou wilt. Then he believed that the Lord Jesus was able to do it. He says, thou canst. But he was not sure if the Lord Jesus was willing. There is no question concerning the ability of the Lord Jesus to save. Why not? He is divine. He is the Son of God. But is there now a question about his willingness? That is not an easy question. And we know that that also lies in the hearts of some of you. There are some that say that the Lord Jesus is willing to save everyone. Can that be? It cannot be. Why can that not be? Because we know that he is also able to save everyone. Thus, if it belonged to his ability, and at the same time it was his will, then it cannot but be that the whole world would be saved. Then there would be no hell. He is able to send his word unto everyone in the world, but it does not please him to do so. He himself spoke in parables, and he was asked why, and he gave the answer. He said, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. What was it? It was an acknowledgement of the election of the Father. And it was agreeable to his will. But that election is secret. That election belongs unto the secret things of God that are not revealed unto us. We know there is an election, but who is elect, whether we are elect, that is something that belongs to the secret will of God. It is the revealed will of God that it is pleasing to him when we would turn from our evil ways and seek the Lord. And it is his own promise that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But he also testifies himself who will come. Who will come? And who will come? All that the Father giveth me shall come. They shall come. They will come because of the overpowering work of the Holy Spirit to overcome the resistance by nature, to draw them. Oh, they shall come. They shall come. Can you not come? Can you not come? Oh, ask the Lord. The bride could not come either. Oh, she said, Lord, draw me. Draw me. Then they shall come. And him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, there is no man, congregation, that ought to stay away for the magnitude of your sin. There is no sinner too great. But there is also not one of us that will ever come to the Lord Jesus except we are cut off from ourselves and our own work because we are enemies. Enemies of free and sovereign grace. Do you believe that? That we are an enemy? We do not want to be saved. We want to save ourselves. And therefore, we are enemies of that blessed mediator. But now the hope, what does he say? Oh, his arrows, they are sharp in the heart of whom? The king's enemies. Oh, Lord, shoot thy arrows. Lord, shoot thy arrows. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. Oh, there are many promises in the word of God. And then it is possible that we take the freedom to apply those promises unto ourselves. Congregation, if we steal, we will have to give it back. We will have to give it back. It will be sooner or later. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples? He said to the disciples, wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. The disciples, they had good reason to hope for the promise of the Father. Why? Because they had heard it out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He had spoken to them. And when the Lord Jesus one day will say unto so many that say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And when he will say, I never knew you. Will he say that to his disciples? Children, cannot be, cannot be. No, the Lord Jesus says, which ye have heard of me. I said it to you. Congregation, we need more. We need more than the general promises that are written in the Word of God to his church. We need them applied. We need them spoken to our own heart. The leper, he said, oh, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That is what he needed now to know. And there is a people, they believe it. Oh, the Lord, he can make me clean. He can make the whole world clean. And I believe it. He is willing also to make many others clean. Oh, I believe it.
But is he now willing also to make me clean? So that leper went to ask. Do you go to ask too? Lord, me also. Then what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He said, I will. Be thou clean. Then he may know it. And then he may experience it for himself. And if the Lord speaks a word to your heart, there are two that know it. He knows it and you know it. Though no other man knows it in the whole world. And there is now nothing of a greater comfort to the soul. Oh, to make you cling to him. Oh, to make you flee to him. As with a refuge-taking faith. Oh, to plead upon his own word. Remember the word which thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Oh, if we have heard it from his own mouth, then we can go back to him. Oh, our own conscience that will tell us, Lord, thou hast said it to me. People of the Lord. Oh, what did the apostle say? He says, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet wait for? Hope that belongs to the promise. Because that belongs to the future. But now, that promise, oh, how that promise is tried in the life of his people. Christ, he spoke to his disciples. And then what did he do? Then he left them. He gave himself to the cross. And he gave himself even unto death. And he went down into the grave. And then where was the promise? What happened to the promise that he had given unto his own disciples? Oh, how severely that promise was tried. When the devil said, now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. And everything that he has promised you in your life, that shall never be fulfilled. But there came a time that the Lord Jesus returned. And do you know what the Lord Jesus said about that promise to his disciples? He said, which ye have heard of me. He said, yes, my disciples, you have heard it from me. Oh, what a wonder. What a wonder to that people. Then they may say yes. Oh, indeed, it was from him. And then they may plead again, saying, oh, hath he said it, and shall he not do it? He spoken, and shall he not make it good? And indeed, with everything that comes against that promise in the life of his people, he is not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should repent. That is why David said, wait on the Lord. He said, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, it is a waiting people for a promise that is future. Oh, remember them when everything does come against it in this life. But thou didst come again. Thou didst show thyself alive by many infallible proofs. And then thou didst speak, all thou didst say it was of me, and what I had spoken unto you, and that it was the promise of the Father. O Lord, give courage to thy children. Give desire in the heart of each and every one of us, that we may see and believe the preciousness of thy people, that we may love thee, draw nigh to thee in spirit and in truth. Bring us safely to our homes. Forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 289, 2 through 5 and 18. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord, his holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength, seek him evermore. 2 through 5 and 18 of 289.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessings.